the Hagman and Hagman Reporter, a very special guest, DJ Welch from Level9News.com. That's Level9News, Level, the number 9News.com. Okay, real simple, Level, number 9News.com, all smushed together, no spaces. Level9News, DJ Welch. And right before the break, she was talking about the, in Southern California, a kind of a pilot program in a way that's, could be starting. That sounds to me a lot like the Karl Marx phrase, from each according to his ability, to each according to his needs. Karl Marx made that, that was his popular saying back in the Critique of the Gotha program, published in 1875, and that's Marxist doctrine or tenet of Marxism. But it doesn't sound much like from each according to his ability, but more the sustainability part, to each according to his needs or her needs, their needs. And but that's total control. And that goes into, as Joe mentioned, that goes into the surveillance of everything you do. You mentioned this as well. And ultimately, ultimate subjugation and control. So, is this, I mean, how can they implement this? Oh, and the other thing I have too, while we have you, is if all of this is dependent upon, for example, the internet or interconnectivity through a network, I don't think they're not going to take the grid down, are they? Or could they? Or they need it? Or or can it be autonomous or self-sustaining somewhere else? Or how does that work?
It's funny because as I was listening to you explain that, I'm thinking to myself, an EMP might not be a bad idea.
Are you really?
Yeah, because that definitely would take down electrical systems, and you know the IoT, the GIG, all the computers running the clouds and things like that. The servers are dependent on, you know, electricity and electrical circuitry, and those would be fried.
So yeah, I mean, have at it. Let's unplug, really unplug, and go back to the 19th century, gas lanterns and, you know, everything. That's one way. Of course, you know, getting the demonic, people out of the positions of power is another and more preferable way, I suppose. Okay.
Yeah, if I could share with you a little story that happened to me. This is, you know, not to digress, but, a week ago, something happened to my cell phone, and I just woke up in the morning and it wasn't working anymore. So, make a long story short, it was in the shop for a week getting fixed, and I had to actually drive to places without looking them up on the internet, because I haven't lived in Phoenix that long, and it's a big city, and I'm not familiar with it, especially after coming from New Mexico, you know, where there's only a couple of, you know, hubs around that you'd have any need to go to anyway, and you get pretty familiar with those pretty fast. But I have to tell you, it was so nice in not having, you know, your phone going off with text messages and ringing and voicemails and Facebook. You know, I'm on Facebook, but I don't use it. I don't ever use it, but I always get notifications when people post stuff on. I find it really annoying. But, you know, it was nice, and I couldn't find this one place I was going to, so I figured, well, let's do what we used to do in the old days. And I stopped at a gas station, and I said, do you have maps? And the girl looked at me, she goes, oh, you mean like Google Maps? I said, no, like a map. It's a small piece of paper that unfolds into a large piece of paper and has pictures of roads on it. And she looked at me like, huh? Yeah, I said, yeah. Oh, never mind, never mind.
So do you have a payphone handy? You know, can I use that?
No payphones anymore either. But anyway, I digress. It was just a funny little story, and it was actually quite peaceful, wow. You know, without it.
Yeah, and I'm one. I don't Well, my wife makes me carry a cell phone because she said, look, you're old, you're confused, you get lost. Here. Okay. the next thing I'm going to do is have to write my name on my underwear, but anyway, an address.
If lost, please return to.
Right, right. But no, I'm kidding about that. But really, what we're looking at, is not just information warfare. Just to kind of wrap this up, encapsulate it, and not only are we being subjected to information warfare, and there's a lot of deception out there at that level, but we're also looking at control through surveillance via the internet and social networking and all telecommunications. Mm-hmm. Everything. That's kind of what we're looking at, aren't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I totally agree with you on that. What is actually happening, if I can put it in bombastic terms here, is that they have found a way to hack human brains without implants. Now, for your audience, I'm sure many of them know this already, but human neural connections in the brain, all right, neural pathways, mm-hmm. They're formed by repetition. In the interconnections of these neurons, if a path is used over and over again, and by the way, this is how addiction works as well. As these paths are used over and over again, they form more hardened interconnections with other neurons in the body. Now, by doing this, and the phenomena of tech addiction, I believe, is now controlling to some extent and to some degree, granted with some people more than others, how we perceive and interact with the world around us. And, well, how do you mean? How do you mean they're controlling? Well, anger, euphoria, hunger, pain, pleasure. We are now looking towards, you know, technology to satisfy these emotional needs or cravings or wants or desires. We live in an age now of instant gratification. Let me back up a minute. You know how we used to learn things by actually putting forth some effort to find an answer, which exercises our human biological neural network. It exercises it. It strengthens it. Now all we have to do is, you know, go to Google and ask Siri or ask Alexa or ask whoever for an answer, and boom, it gives us the answer. No effort, no work, no nothing is put into that. So what happens? Do we actually learn? No, we're not learning. We're getting an instant gratification to, a question or a problem that we have, and we are slowly losing the ability to figure things out on our own, I think. And I don't think this is by default. I think this is by design.
Kind of like if you don't use it, you lose it.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, mm-hmm. Okay. And
neural networks in artificial intelligence work the same way. As a matter of fact, they're being patterned off biological neural networks in humans and animals. So, you know, they've got a very good handle on what they're doing. And although, you know, many people have accused me of being a technophobe. Oh, you're afraid of technology. You hate technology. No, I don't. I think there's some great things technology can do for humanity. However, the person at the helm, no pun intended, the people, organizations and think tanks at the helm are anything but benevolent. And they will use this. They'll find a way to weaponize it and find a way to use it to cast a neural net over humanity. And I think, you know, they're coming a long way in this respect. You know, it's almost as if, Doug, that we're adding an eighth level to the OSI model, which is the open system interconnection model, you know, where you have the physical data network, session layer, presentation layer. We're now adding an eighth layer to that, and that's the human interface layer to that model. And, you know, that's where a lot of my work and my reports go into as far as assimilation and transhumanism.
Transhumanism is frightening, and I just want to give a shout out to Level 9 News. Her subscription service, well worth it. It's less than $2 a month, and sign up for a year, and you get a month free. Go ahead, Joe.
Under the Obama administration, we saw him do a number of things. The brain mapping initiative. He also issued an executive order in 2009 on a bioethics commission, which talked about the intersection of technology and human rights. Can you get into what the purposes of the brain mapping, what those purposes are?
As a matter of fact, I have a report that gets into that quite in depth. And what that is, that was a full-on push to understand how the human brain works so that they can fund and develop better AI. AI is probably the wrong term. It's AGI, artificial general intelligence, where artificial intelligence, you know, is usually task specific and acts kind of in a box, so to speak. Artificial general intelligence interacts with other AGI out there on the global information grid, as well as it gathers and assimilates information from standalone AIs. AGI is much more dangerous. AGI is what we are facing today. AGI is what we see with Google, with Siri, just flew out of my head. See, that's what happens when you get old.
Alexa.
Yeah, all of those.
Okay.
You know, it's predictive. You know, it's predicting the future before it happens, and the future being predicting what you're going to want, ask, or need before you actually express it.
It's interesting because my stepson got my wife, or got us, I don't know. Eric the Tech, what is that?
Alexa.
Mm-hmm. All right. And this thing just absolutely freaks me out. Okay, there's something's not right about having a thing that you talk to it and it wakes up and spits out information or whatever it does. I don't even know what it does. All I know is I put it in the trunk, lock the trunk, and disconnect everything. I don't want to see it.
That's probably the safest place for it.
Yeah,
I don't like those things either.
No, I mean, I'm going to tell you something. To me, that's the most absurd thing. Don't tell my steps on that. But anyway, if we're surveillance conscious, you know, concerned about surveillance, certainly we wouldn't want those things around. You know, this topic is so huge, and I go thinking back to, making fun of people who said, oh, your television's spying on you. I'm thinking, yeah, right. But seriously, you know, you're out of your mind. But that's a foregone, I mean, that's not even debatable anymore.
No.
Wow, how screwed up, you know, how far behind it have I been? But okay. So where's the, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to expand on what you just said. We just got a new refrigerator, and I was looking inside the hinge, and there's a little, like, Wi-Fi symbol in there. So I dug the manual out, and you can use your cell phone, hold your cell phone up against this thing, and it will transmit and remotely diagnose any problem that you're having with, you know, the appliance, or so it says.
Wow.
You know, I think it has the capability to do a lot more than that, because remember, anything wireless like that not only has the ability to receive, it has the ability to transmit.
That's right. And there it is. And that's why you see people with electrical tape over their cameras on their laptops and computers. We certainly do that, and we don't have any cameras open except in the studio. Yeah, because you just never know, and you always have to nowadays. Yeah, I mean, this is totally 1984, obviously. Anyone listening to this broadcast, I'm sure, is saying, well, yeah, we know about this. But no, you don't. I don't think we know the extent.
And not the extent of the weaponization of the technology. We know it exists, and we've come to expect it, you know, and even just from Vault 7, the releases, saying as much, you know, that they hack into our systems, that even a lot of Apple products were manufactured so back doors could be opened up into it. But they're using this, they're weaponizing this technology and the information they gather with this technology against us. And that's Absolutely. Where it's going to become very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. We should talk about that HSCOI DOD project, one of these, maybe, because we can talk about that for easy an hour or more, and what they're doing with it, where they are as far as the schedule of the different phases of that project. They are ahead of schedule on the implementation of that project. Now, I don't know if you can tell me of any government initiative that's ever been ahead of schedule on anything.
No, and I think is that the 59-page document you've got linked on your website, or is that?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what Pentagon's HSCOI program, using social media as a targeting
telemetry.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this also gets into, I'm looking here at my notes, weapon systems, lethal force, taking the human out of the decision-making process to use a lethal force and the use of lethal force. This is incredible. Less human interaction, the better. More automatic computer
response.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is all about.
Yeah, and that's not the only project. You know, that was probably the most... that was probably one of the ones I read that hit me the hardest, because they made no bones about how they intend to use this. You know, I'm like, wow, this is in the public domain and nobody's talking about this?
Yeah, that's... But you've done a lot of... and again, I go back to your interview, I think it was back in September of 2016 with John B. Wells and on Caravan to Midnight, and also your reports on this HSCOI program. But being ahead of schedule, what does that mean? Does that mean that, I mean, I know what ahead of schedule means, but what's their time frame in deployment, complete deployment? Because, and what's the definition of being complete with respect to this program?
Well, the Gantt charts are all up there for the different modules or aspects of the program, the different compartments of the program. They're up there, and you know the timelines. Like we intend to get here by 2016, and you'll see the Gantt line goes right through 2015. So they already completed that a year ahead of schedule. You know, it's that type of thing. And looking at the amount of money that they're investing in this thing, and where they're getting the money from, you know, like I said, this is a whole nother topic, and you know, there's so much information in that that I kind of don't want
to. No, and I understand. People can visit your website, Level 9 News, level9news.com, and certainly subscribe to your subscription service, and of course, well worth it, and view all of the information you have on your website. You've got a ton of information on there, including interviews, past interviews you've done. It's very well worth the time spent on the website. We'll take this to the bottom of the hour, which is about 9 minutes, 7 minutes, 8 minutes, I don't know. DJ Welch is our guest. DJ, what should we be looking out for right now? What's on your radar in this soup of electronic soup? What should we be looking out for?
I think one of the things that should be on the top of the radar is going cashless, because if they are successful in doing that, and believe me, they're pushing for it, they will be able to track everything. Everything. If you can't make a purchase discreetly, if you can't save money, if you can't work towards your own prosperity or the prosperity of your children, you have nothing. You're a slave. And I think that's the direction they're kind of like herding us in right now. And I think this whole Bitcoin thing, I know a lot of people, and I know I'm going to offend some people out there, but this whole Bitcoin thing, that's just a cog in the wheel of going cashless.
It's a cryptocurrency.
Right. Yeah, it's digital. It's completely digital. You can't hold it. You can't feel it. You can't, put it in the bank. I know they have digital wallets out there, but that's not what I'm talking about. You can't put it in your pocket and take it with you, so to speak, like you can with cash. And although they say, they attribute, a lot of the praise going towards this whole cryptocurrency, phenomena is that, it has value because they only ever created, 24 million bitcoins or something like that? And they can never create any more. But Bitcoin behaves just like stock. And what they're doing is they can't print more, but they can divide it down into infinity where and they're doing that right now.
Man,
Bitcoin.
That's amazing. Who's that guy? Who's behind it? Who created it?
I forget his name. He's
Max
an
Kaiser?
Asian.
Or,
who created Bitcoin?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was an Asian guy. I can't recall, and he was like elusive. Nobody knew him. There was no pictures of him. Nobody ever heard of him before. So I'm wondering if he was, just some type of virtual creation out there, and if this Bitcoin thing wasn't actually being put out there by the banks, by the shadow governments, and I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but if it was, if it wasn't actually created and put out there by them,
right,
to get people hooked into the system.
Yeah, and it's used on the dark web. I mean, when I want to buy my rock of heroin or whatever, just use the Bitcoin. Or whatever. My grenade launchers.
Yeah, but I think, to answer your question, that's the thing that should be on, people's radar right now is watch for the migration or we're already progressing towards it, but watch for the crossover to a cashless technology, a cashless society.
And what would precipitate that, do you think?
I think a basic sustainable income is one of the things that will help precipitate that. Collapse of the financial system, possibly collapse of the markets, could precipitate that. There's any number of things that, could theoretically precipitate it. It could be any one or a combination of a multitude of things happening simultaneously or in succession that could precipitate this.
But then again, when we talk about this, you're talking about a system dependent upon a grid that's operable, so if the grid goes down, we no money.
And that's the other thing, that I'm kind of perplexed about, with this whole cryptocurrency craze is that, wait a minute, we're living in a society where we're being told every day the cyber terrorists are out there and they'll steal your bank account, they'll take down the internet, they'll do all this. Well, why would you than opt for a currency that's dependent on this.
Yeah.
Nothing they do or say makes any sense anyway. So who was it? Was it William Gates who said, and in reference to Project Mockingbird, he made a statement. It was one of his outgoing statements. He said, "We'll know our project has succeeded when everything the people know is a lie."
That's right.
And that here we are. Should hold, you know, that should speak volumes to everybody. That's and he was referring to Project Operation Mockingbird.
Right.
When he made that statement.
Regarding what's being fed to us,
right.
the people on the other end of the news spectrum. DJ Welch, thank you so very much for your gift of time. I know you've got a ton of things to do. You're very busy, and I just want to say thank you for taking the time out to spend it with us tonight. And
well, thank you for having me. I enjoyed it, as always.
Well, God bless you, and I know there's so much more to get into, but you gave us the basis, the HSCO1 program that we do have to really watch. Go ahead.
Level 9 News, that's level the number 9. news.com, level9news.com is the website. Make sure you check it out and bookmark it. DJ, yeah, thanks again for spending the time tonight. It was a very interesting and informative interview, and we look forward to hearing from you in the future.
Thank you.
God bless.
All right, when we come back, we are going to spend the last segment going over the latest current events, news, and analysis of what's going on both here nationally and internationally. A lot of news to get into, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after these messages.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
Shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. I mean, it'll blow you away. Absolutely, Eric said.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman and the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Chang Personal Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We're offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either. But they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues. And so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changepersonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. that means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Welcome back to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. So much to get into, so many things. I just want to draw your attention back to, I've got a few things to say about the Syrian attack and the blowback. If you don't think there hasn't been blowback from the cruise missiles, a couple of things that I've been looking at. The attack itself, then the Tomahawk, launching of the Tomahawk missiles, and then, of course, from there, the battle damage assessment, and then following that, the response. When I say response, I'm talking about the response from the American people. And the situation is this. First of all, let's look at it very quickly. We'll look at the attack. The initial gas attack in Syria, all right, that killed, what, 95 now, apparently. There's, what, three possibilities. It happened as we are led to believe it happened. Okay, it's possible. Or it was a U.S. slash Israel slash anti-Syria false flag, right? That's another option. Or another option yet could be a Syrian strike, a strike by Syria, which happened on a location that happened to be storing some gas. Now, when you look at the video, and you pointed this out right after this happened, if this was sarin gas, I'm not sure the rescuers would be handling the bodies, the wounded, the afflicted in the manner they were. Because one drop of sarin, I mean, my goodness, it'd kill you. It's that bad. So could it be chlorine? Or could it be a mixture, the components of a gas that somehow mixed up during this attack? But let's say it was chlorine in storage or some sort of toxic other than sarin gas in storage. That would mean that the strike by Syria would have to be so, I don't want to say coincidental, but so precise or so unlucky or lucky. I don't know what term would apply here. But that would require or necessitate the fact that the U.S. would have intentionally fed bad intelligence to the Syrians, got them to bomb a location where our leaders knew the toxic gas was stored. Right? I mean, really, so those are really the only options. So, when you look at it that way, I still don't see any evidence where the Syrians dropped chemical weapons from an aircraft. And I don't think that there was any chemical gases or any chemicals were stored at the Al Shayat Air Base. There was no footage showing any munitions or containers which would have delivered the toxic gas, even in post-attack assessments, images. And the U.S., the U.S. and other radar recordings, all they can show really is that an aircraft is in the sky, it's heading its altitude and speed. There's no way to distinguish a chemical munition, for example, in aerial surveillance or surveillance from space, or surveillance period, by means of radar or radar. So whatever you may think, the Assyrian government is obviously, well, it would appear that the Assyrian government is not guilty necessarily based on the evidence that we've seen of an attack of this type. Now, we get back to the old, same old story. It didn't happen the way they said it happened. You know, in the past, the U.S. has considered false flags. There are records of that, and you can find them. Just search on the internet. Now, our response. What's agreed upon? Let me ask you, what is agreed upon as being our response? Russia, America, both say that two U.S. naval assets, ships, launched 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles at that airfield in Syria. There's apparently no dispute there. The U.S. did not consult with the Russians on the political level, but through military channels, the U.S. gave Russia a couple of hours notice saying, hey, you know what? You might not want to be standing right there at the underneath that. You know, you might not want to be hanging out at the Al-Sharat airfield in Syria. So there was advance notice given. Now, we said that all of the fired, or all of the missiles hit their targets. And notice the language there. All of the missiles hit their targets. Now, the Russians had come out, and Joe, you pointed this out earlier, saying that, oh, wait a second, Russia's saying that only 23 cruise missiles hit their target at the airfield, right?
And we also had the United States say that one missile may have malfunctioned,
okay,
and landed in the sea. I never saw a confirmation if they found out where exactly it did land or not. But yes, there were reports that only 23 of the 59 missiles made it due to the Russian anti-missile system that was in place.
Okay.
But also in other reports, there were reports after the missile attack that Russia needed to upgrade or was going to upgrade and implement a new missile defense system in Syria, hinting to the fact that theirs didn't work properly.
Okay.
If it was used at all.
Well, all right. So we have a problem now, don't we? If 23, going back to the original part, if 59 missiles were fired and 23 hit their target, we're shy three dozen missiles.
Yeah, about $40 million.
Right. So
it's a lot of room for mistake there.
Okay, so what happened to the 36 missiles? Were they not fired?
And these missiles are unique, or maybe not unique by today's standards, but each one has the ability to be redirected while in the air. They're accurate.
Okay, right. These three guided systems.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a GPS, the inertial navigation and terrain mapping. So there's three different guidance systems that the Tomahawks could use. There's no evidence and no reports that the Russians shot one missile down whatsoever. Absolutely no. There's no evidence for that. In fact, if you go back in the history, the Russians signed an agreement of understanding with the United States that specifically stated that Russia would not interfere with any U.S. overflights, either manned or unmanned. And the United States would not interfere with Russian manned or unmanned. Okay. So what does that mean? Were they lying? Did they use did the Russians have in place anti-missile systems? But there's no evidence of that. So what are the possibilities here? Is it possible that Donald Trump never intended to really hit the Syrians with any degree of fatality? And this was just kind of for show that maybe, that the United States, the 36 missiles were destroyed by our own naval assets or, you know, sent elsewhere into the sea. That would give Donald Trump this appearance of, you know, John Wayne appearance, okay? Yeah. Is it possible? Sure, anything's possible, I suppose. Is it probable? That doesn't seem very likely that we'd blow, you know, how many millions there with 36 cruise missiles. So, all right. Since the Russians could not, by decree, could not legally shoot down U.S. missiles, and by the way, what about their flight path? What do we know about that? Because wouldn't the missiles overfly the Russian radar positions? So there would have to be some sort of evasive maneuvering of the Tomahawks. Now it's possible that the Tomahawks could have evaded the radar systems, because Tomahawks can fly low to the ground. And there could be some evasive action taken. And I'm sure some were flying low enough to avoid detection by the Russians and what have you. But think about this. But the Russians had advanced knowledge that they were coming. So they had a lot of time to prepare in terms of battle for whatever defensive maneuvers that they would use on behalf of Syria. Could it be that, used electronic warfare stations and maneuvers and things to fry or disable at least some of the cruise missiles? If that was the case, why not all of them? I take that as a little bit of a, probably not. One thing to be certain is you don't lose just 36 Tomahawks. You know exactly where they went. So we're getting, I guess I said all that to say this. Any intellectually active person out there can look at what's taking place and say, man, we're being fed a load of BS. Both about the initial attack, the gas attack, and there's evidence supportive. And I'm sure there's people who say, well, wait, Sarin, you know, the aid workers could have gotten shots to, you know, beforehand or whatever. No, read about that. Research that, how that works, and the lead time that takes, and no. Or, whatever it might be. But certainly the sarin angle, no, doesn't appear to be. At least not based on the evidence or documentation shown by the media. So if they're lying about that, what else are they lying about? And you would think that if the United States was intent on completely destroying that airfield, they would have destroyed it. Believe me, I think this, our military is capable. They would have turned that into rubble, the airstrip and everything. But there were flights out of there, what, 30 hours later, off the airstrip.
Now they're saying that was a hoax. It was a PR stunt. That there were actually no flights from that airstrip, that it was made to look like that to diminish the effects that the U.S. attack had on Syria. So I haven't been able to confirm those reports either way. But okay. Still, you make a lot of good points.
But look, I would say is this. we have to be critical thinkers here, and we have to really look at the evidence presented to us. Now, we don't know if it's authenticated, authentic evidence or evidence that's, we don't know. We don't know the videos we see that are presented to us. We don't know if they're the true victims of this gas attack or if they're victims somewhere else. We don't know anything except what we're told. And are we being told the truth?
Never.
Okay. But here's the political consequences domestically. Have you noticed what's taking place domestically? You've got Ann Coulter just frothing, saying, "Oh, Don, what did you do to me, man? Donald Trump, what did you do to me?" You've got others. You've got Michael Savage on the warpath. And look, me too, because I believe. And again, I wrote the articles back in 2012, where before the attack on Guta. The chemical weapons attack on Guta that claimed, and again, who do you believe? 250 lives, 1,485, or 1,500 lives, or somewhere in between. The ramifications to Donald Trump, those who have hated him, still hate him, and those who supported him now hate him as well.
Yeah, many do. And he issued a statement today saying that this is not, we're not going into Syria. And General Mattis also said that this is not going to spiral out of control, that basically, and also possibly that there's conflicting reports from the inside the administration. Some say there's going to be a regime change, or there should be a push for the regime change, and others are saying there won't be. They're still not going for a regime change.
Well, let me tell you something about the regime change. Israel is pushing for the regime change. The United mm-hmm. States is pushing for the regime. All the wrong... Look, Turkey, you tell me, what good would it be? Joe, answer me this question. You take out Assad. Look what happened in Iraq. You had Hussein in Iraq. Look, the Christians weren't being beheaded, at least on a regular basis.
Before the Arab Spring, I don't know, can anybody point an example to me where Assad was murdering his own people, where they're committing these humanitarian atrocities in the news. Now, he was a secular leader.
He was evil, or is evil, but not as evil as
he protected
ISIS,
the Christians. He protected all
somewhat,
these different tribes. Right. I mean, the same thing with Gaddafi. He was a dictator, yes.
Gaddafi was a little bit better, I believe, than Assad.
The Middle East was stable for the most part. You didn't have these war-torn nations. I mean, did you see today the headlines out of Libya? They're selling slaves?
Oh, of course.
Selling people into slavery in Libya?
That's planned. See?
This is democracy, and this is nation building.
And you know what, folks? But, go back to George Webb, W-E-B-B, George Webb on the internet on YouTube. I'm a fan. The rat lines of not just drugs and weapons and money, but sex slaves and organ harvesting. And this is what this pedophilia is about, and the pedigate, and this all connects. Go ahead, Joe. Sorry.
And interesting enough today, I saw another report here, and I just left my mind. I'll find it here. But the slaves in Libya and, you know, what's happening in Syria, ISIS is still, the U.S. and Russia both, targeted some ISIS, posts in the last few days. And I believe the number two was bombed, there. But what we've seen, in Syria, it's a lose-lose for us to get involved any more militarily there. Whatever this, you want to call it, a civil war or the destabilization, into chaos that was caused by the Arab Spring, which was a direct result of us, you know, funding the Al-Qaeda's, the ISIS's. And there was a report today that, sources confirmed sarin gas was used. Well, you know who the source was? It was an anonymous diplomat out of Turkey. The same people who were responsible in 2013 for, arming the rebels with the chemical weapons that were used to blame on Assad back then. When over 1,000 people were gassed in Syria in 2013. And just like you said, you know, you have Jordan, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, Israel, all pushing for the removal of Assad. And what's Israel's agenda in this? That has to be looked at as well. Because I believe they are one of the main forces pushing for the regime change in Syria.
Well, of course. And it amazes me that they want to settle on a devil that they don't know mm-hmm. versus a known threat, and that's in the form of Assad.
And when we've seen every example before them and all the countries surrounding them, you know, you thought the Syrian civil war was bad. They're complaining on the news about, you know, 500,000, Assad's murdered 500,000 people. No, the United States foreign policy and the globalists are responsible for those murders by destabilizing the nation and then funding the most radical Islamic terrorists they could find with our weaponry, and then not protecting the special groups like the Yazidis and the you know, the Assyrians and those people who are fighting ISIS and terrorism on the front lines. Instead, we've been, you know, people like John McCain and Lindsey Graham, these war hawks, they've been funding and pushing for these rebels to be armed. That's John right. McCain has been to Syria numerous times, and both times right after he came back, there was a new chemical weapons attack.
That's right.
Yeah, there's pictures with him with the number two in ISIS and ISIS's head of PR. And I mean, it's crazy. And then he has, you know, he comes back here and all the mainstream fake news agencies give him airtime to beat his war drums. And, you know, I don't know how many people noticed this last week, but right before the day that, it was in the evening here when the missiles were launched against the airfield in Syria, John McCain gave like four interviews to different news outlets that day, praising Donald Trump, all giddy about, you know, the prospects of what was upcoming as far as how Syria was going to be dealt with. Almost, you know, like it was, he was a kid on Easter, on an Easter egg hunt, and he just found some chocolate eggs. It's sickening to see that these people pushing for war, pushing for death, and it's fascinating to me that they can, you know, use this one chemical attack or alleged chemical attack, whatever you want to call it. They can, you know, tout or show a few children and say, look, this is why we need to do this. Yet at the same time, you have thousands of children, you know, being murdered through abortions in America. But just besides that fact, what about the 500,000 dead people in Syria, many of whom were civilians, men, women, and children? Where are those, you know, victims being shown on the news from the weapons that you, John McCain, and others in the administration sold to the rebels? You don't hear the outcries then to protect the children for humanitarianism, only when it suits your agenda.
Amen to that. Yes. Yes. The warmongers are happy. And this goes back to who? It goes back to Tom Barnett. People like Tom Barnett, the PNAC document.
Mm-hmm.
I was provided information about Barnett and what he had said before the 9/11 attacks.
We need a new Pearl Harbor to get us in. That's what the PNAC document said. And don't forget about North Korea. I'm hearing some things unconfirmed that there could be a preemptive strike in North Korea before the week's end, before even tomorrow's over. Don't know how accurate that is. Don't know why a preemptive strike would be needed. But if we do see something in North Korea as far as the U.S. In some kind of preemptive strike, and even China threatened to bomb North Korea's nuclear facilities today.
Let's China do it then.
Which is really interesting. But if we do see some kind of preemptive strike in North Korea, keep your eyes on Syria, because I think that's really when, you know, the bait and switch, you know, they want us looking one way or in one direction while they do something in the
other. I'm glad you said that, because I do believe that for all of the clamor that North Korea is responsible for, I believe that the real issue, and I'm glad you said that, is Syria.
And Iran. Syria, Iran, North Korea, those are the three. But
right.
We see the most coverage on North Korea and Syria. But really, North Korea, for, you know, just a lot of rhetoric from the Kim Jong-un, you know, continuing, you know, every day saying he's going to nuke an American city, it's getting more coverage almost than the Syria issue, which is surprising to me, and tells me that there's a lot more in store with North Korea in the near future than what is being led on right now.
It amazes me to see the conservatives who refuse to hold Donald Trump to account for his actions. Now, I can understand.
They're cheering him on.
Well, right.
Except for, you know, people like Rand Paul, and there was a Democratic congresswoman who opposed Trump's actions in the
Tulsi Gabbard.
And the other members of her constituency were trying to get her out because she opposed.
They're after her in a big way.
I mean, these people love war.
Why?
They do. They cry humanitarianisms and, oh, you know, we have to save the children and the violence has to end. We need peace. You know, and then they turn around and vote and pray for war.
Well, right. And Clinton, Hillary Clinton spoke out here, in case you didn't hear her. They're not going away saying, you know, all of the Syrian refugees, you can't bomb Syria and then not take the refugees. Well, what comes first in looking at this? And who caused really the civil war that began in Syria in March? Who really ignited that fuse and what set of circumstances? You know, history is being perverted to mischaracterize what happened in Syria. The Western intelligence, you just call it the way the evidence is. It was the United States and Israel and France, some other Western nations and France and Great Britain but the Saudi agenda, using U.S. and Israel as the warmongers or the actual doers of the Saudi agenda, the instruments of attack, or the instruments to set the entire Middle East on fire. This is really the Saudi agenda, the Saudi Arabia agenda. So that, again, as I said before, that bow to the King of Saudi Arabia was a deep bow, and I'm not so sure. I mean, he's showing his, you know what, to the United States, Obama. I'm not so sure how deep that bow went, and I'll just leave it at that. But everything we're seeing here is drawing to a certain conclusion. We're being pushed toward war, world war. And some people say, well, shame on you for even talking about it because it's unavoidable. It's because it's prophetic. I'm a Christian, and I shouldn't be talking about it because it's in the prophecy, it's in the Bible, it's a prophecy, you can't change prophecy, so shut up! Wait a second. You might not be able to change prophecy, and I certainly wouldn't want to, nor do I think I would have that power. However, you know, through exposure, through intervention, intercession, prayer, whatever, if you can delay it, if you can delay that, if you can delay the circumstances that would lead to a world war, where you'd have more time to convert people to the truth, to the real truth, shouldn't that be your objective if you're a Christian? Instead of bitching about something else, shouldn't that be your objective? Winning, getting more time so you can win more people to God, to save more souls? Shouldn't that be your objective? Again, instead of bitching, saying, well, you can't change prophecy, so shut up about it. I'm just asking. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a minister. I don't know. I'm just saying that, you know, if we can expose these demonic activities for what they are, and in so doing, lead more to be saved for the kingdom, isn't that what we're appointed to do? And you know what? We're not going to stop. We're not going to stop. It's not Donald Trump right or wrong, and it's not America right or wrong. It's not any of that. It's only what's right. It's only what's true. It's right only. It's good only. And we ain't stopping. And I'm proud to be a part of our group, John Robertson and Eric and Joe and Jackie and JD and everybody. And Global Star and BTR. Proud to be a part of a group that is heading in that direction. God bless.